When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
The Craig Ferguson's Fancy Rascal Tour continues in November 2023. For the full list of dates, please go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour website. My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Here is Lewis Black, one of America's crankiest and best comedians. Thank you for coming, Ben, and we'll see you next time.
Perfect.
Yeah. How are you, pal?
Every day, just a bigger and better and brighter world, isn't it?
I don't know. I battle a little depression.
I do, too.
Do you really? Do you really actually have depression?
This first time in my life, during the pandemic, and right. During the pandemic, it came on, and after, it's kind of lingered. It kind of went away a bit, and it's lingered, and then you don't know if it's grief, because my mother passed away 6 months ago.
I am so sorry to hear that. Your mother was, she lived to be over 100 years old.
104.
Wow. I mean, it's funny, like, I don't know if this happened to you, but if I have, like, people I love, if they live really a long time, people feel like you don't get as much grief as you would be allowed if they were younger. It's like you run out of grief. Has anyone hit you with that, or am I just being an asshole?
No, that's what you think.
You're right.
But the thing is they've been there so long, it becomes something else. It's a different type of thing.
Yeah.
Because when you, as I say in the act, but it, when you're arguing with your mother about when to take Social Security, well, the statute of limitations has been passed. But 104, and just to give you a sense of it, of what that age means, is my mother, I got a call from the funeral home, and they said that they had discontinued, my mother wanted to be cremated, they discontinued her urn.
Oh, my God.
She outlived her
urn. She outlived the urn model. You had to get another one?
Do you realize that? First off, that they make that many, that they're coming up with new urns, because people are going, oh, this is a better...
This is a better urn? It's a... It's kind of great.
It's a triplex.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because you were very close with your mom, though, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't know if you would agree with this, but... My wife says that all good stand-up comedians have kind of the same mom.
That's a better and more interesting than that thing of, some sort of a bitter life or you're Catholic, Jewish, Italian, Irish.
No, you can have all of that. You can have a bitter life and be Catholic, Jewish, Italian, and Irish. Well, I don't think you can be all these things at the same time, but maybe you can. It's America.
It's spectacular.
Yeah, but... She says, because she, knew my mom, and she was right about my mom. She said, I love my mom. My mom loved me, but she was kind of a cold woman, and she had poor boundaries. And my wife says that's kind of like a stand-up song.
That's God, how did you find somebody, you found a woman that smart and married you?
Yeah, I know. She's got a real blind spot. but she said that.
That's interesting because my mother was cold.
Right.
But to me.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not cold, but emotionally not the, you know, withdraw. You know, we're not going to talk about, you know, we're not going to.
No, I get it.
You know, I mean, to give you something I haven't really shared with a lot of people, like, except my close friends, and you're a good friend. When I went to say goodbye to her, that is literally one of the few times I can remember in my life when we looked each other in the eye.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know that one?
I was exactly like with my parents,
yeah,
too. I was exactly that. But I wonder if that was a generational thing as well with those guys, because my father and mother were both kids during the Second World War, and Glasgow was bombed really heavily, and they saw death when they were young, and I think it may be, but they weren't frosty in the sense that they were emotionally distant, but they were very careful about using words like "I love you" and all that kind of stuff. No one did all of that.
Yeah, my father was warmer, much warmer.
Yeah, my dad too, I think,
but much quieter.
Yeah. I wonder if it is that. You know, here's the example of it. I won an Emmy, and I said to my mom, "I won an Emmy," when she was still alive, and she went, daytime Emmy.
She really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of that thing, right? Because if you're a stand-up, and you've done that, every stand-up who's good, and you're really good, right? Any stand-up who's good, because there's a lot of stand-up, especially now, everybody's a stand-up. But, you know, it's like, there's a stand-ups who are proper stand-ups. You know what I'm talking about. There's you. There's, like, Attell. There's, like, you know, guys who really are it. And you've gone up on a stage at some point in your life, and you've died horribly on that stage, probably in the first maybe 6 months of your career.
Oh, easily.
And you went back and did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that and you smile when I'm and that's like I did that too. And that's, my wife says, why would a person do that? And I said, well, I don't know. You just kind of want to, I guess.
Well, the thing is that this, like with theater, and this has to do maybe with the mother.
Yeah.
Boy, they're going to use this in psychological, sociological textbooks, this discussion.
Yeah, no.
They're going to steal from us.
They will, yeah, because academics always steal from comedians.
Well, they certainly do when there's insight, because they have none. But I probably forgot what I'm going to say because I wanted to make a joke.
That happens to me all the time. And nowadays, though, I'm reaching the point in my life where I forget what I'm going to say and I don't make a joke. I just forget what I'm going to say.
Exactly. I stare into space.
Yeah. Let me give you an example. This may jog your memory. So I'm talking, you know Leno, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Jay Leno I'm talking to. And Jay's mother was Scottish. And I was trying out my theory about all stand-ups, or my wife's theory about all stand-ups having the same mom. All good stand-ups having the same mom. And Jay, whatever you think about Jay, Jay is a great stand-up. I mean, and he said his mom, when he got the cover of Time magazine, when he was doing The Tonight Show, he said to his mom, I'm on the cover of Time magazine. She went, oh, yes, it's probably just the local edition. She went, Time magazine, mom. There is no local edition.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's never enough.
It's never enough. And I think that part of getting on stage, getting back on stage, even when you've died, there's something in you.
The death.
Yeah.
The death is the, first off, it's you choose, because of your mother in part, that we're comfortable with that dying. It's theater and stand up are the two places you learn from failure.
Right.
You learn. You don't learn by being successful, because when it works, you're like, especially early on, you go, "What the fuck did I just do?"
Yeah, no, I have to be able to do it again. I don't know what happened in the first place.
But if you fail, you kind of go, "Well, I could try this. I could do this. I could do that." Well, they've changed the line, the delivery. Da 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 da. I started too high with the audience. My energy was too low. All of that comes into play. And so I think it's that we get from our mothers, like, you know, Jay's mom saying that sense of like, we're comfortable with the fact that we've been in front of a major primary relationship that we take as our backboard is like, this is our judgment. And it's constantly going, oh, forget it.
Yeah.
You have failed again.
Right.
And so Failing? I know how to do that.
And also, failing can look like love.
Yes.
Because you just go like, well, you know, I failed. My mom loves me, and she's always saying mean things. So,
the other thing is that I've said about it, which is, I believe, about what separates those who go on in stand-up is there's a certain kind of a joy we get out of dying.
I totally agree.
And the stupidity of that joy is, oh, you think you got me in a corner?
Yeah.
You guys, forget it, because I have something coming up now, even though nothing has worked for 10 minutes.
Yep.
But this one, I've been saving this one. I can't believe what I'm going to do to you. And then you pull that out and boom, and it's worse, and you're just digging your grave.
Well, what's interesting, the reason I started this conversation talking about that is because before I ever met you, I saw you perform doing exactly that in front of one of the worst audiences I had seen in my life, and I've seen some really bad ones, usually when I'm in front of them. It was at the Late and Live gig at the Edinburgh Festival years and years and years ago.
Oh, you saw that?
I was there. And I was like, my God, they're going to kill him. And you just wouldn't back down. And I saw them turn, which was amazing. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I don't know how a guy can do that.
You were there, because that for me was a historic moment. It destroyed. I had gone over there in hopes of then, this is my way to get into England and Scotland. And,
right.
And that killed it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think they all, you know, it did. Because the thing that had kicked it off was that I did a joke about golf clubs stolen from a car that I had, a rental car in Florida, and that the policeman who came was Jamaican. And when I didn't, there was something at the time, I don't remember the joke, because it's almost as if that night traumatized me with the joke out of me.
Oh, God.
And so I said that, and it was just a true story,
right,
that I didn't know what he was saying. And that's when the audience, you racist piece of shite, and it started to pour out. And I was like, and that's why I put my foot down. You fucking, really? You guys are going to call me racist?
That's what I remember, which was awesome. Because it was fantastic to watch. And there's a famous audio recording of Bill Burr doing pretty much the same thing. Do you remember that? Well, the audience, they want to kill him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. I'm doing my time, you guys. And, you know, like, and he went at them. And they're trying to drown him out at one point, and he won't give in. I remember those nights. They don't happen often now. In fact, I haven't had one for a long time.
No, it
doesn't. It'd be bad if you had them when you're in your 60s. But when you're a kid starting out, that's why I wonder, you know, kids coming up now, everybody does things differently, and they're doing their comedy on YouTube and stuff like that, and that's great. I would do it if I was that age too, you know, but they don't get put in front of the adversity. They get it in a different way. They get negative comments on their thing and people saying mean things to them online, but they don't get the immediate, fresh, in-your-face hatred, which I think does you so much good.
Well, it does, and it also is how you learn.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think for some of them it works as like... It works as kind of like, okay, it's like sending out an audition tape to the people you really want to audition for. So in that way, there's an upside. I just did my...
Your special?
My special is on YouTube now.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that, because I'm getting to the point, you know, where every couple of years when you have an act and you think, okay, I'm going to have to burn this stuff because I can't keep doing it.
I can't keep saying it.
Yeah, I can't keep saying it every night and pretending it's the first time I said it. So I'm going to have to burn this. So I'm coming up to doing a special, and actually somebody had told me that you had put yours straight up on YouTube, and I went, you know what, I think that, because Louis did that as well, doesn't he? He just, like, puts it up on YouTube, and it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of it was, and I wasn't happy about it, because I'm going, well, you know, who's, you know, this is for kids, you know, I mean,
right.
But it apparently is where a ton of people are watching their stuff.
No, the industry is changing, and it's changing so fast that, you know, like the writer's strike and all that. I mean, everybody's like, you know, what's going to happen? But I think in terms of stand-up comedy, the idea of having any executive have any input on material is over, as far as I'm concerned. I just wouldn't be a thing that I would listen to now.
Yeah, no, it's really absurd. But it also is the... Amazon Prime has a thing, a part of their deal now,
right,
that I'm going to just tell you. We'll talk about it later, but
right,
you would find it unacceptable.
Right.
Netflix, basically, I don't know.
That's a club.
Well, they dismissed us.
Yeah, right.
Because we were already cretinous.
I did a couple of stand-up specials for Netflix.
Did you really?
I did, yeah, back in
you
the day.
You prick. I did not get one on.
No, I did. I think I did.
I thought you got. I just don't.
One of the first ones I did.
Wow.
It wasn't the first one, but it was like in the. I was all they could get at the time. I think I did a couple for them.
$40 million, you got the.
No, I didn't get anything like that. No, I got like a free subscription. But when I did the Netflix special, I think it was. They were definitely streaming, but it was, you know, it wasn't just the DVD.
So it was way back.
Yeah, it was,
and it was before they went in the money psychosis. But when they started tossing money around for comics, and I was still in that kind of sweet spot of like, okay, you know, I should be one. And
right.
No, got blocked. And then now, forget it. We basically checked in, you know.
Right.
The guys pitched, yo, well, what about Lewis? And,
yeah.
Well, we have 12 people for every slot right now. And I don't get it. But as a result, you know, bumped out of that. And then HBO has kind of gone its way.
Right.
Showtime.
Can you make it a bit more Game of Thrones-y? Can you be on fire? Is there a dragon in it? Can it have a dragon in it?
Is there some blood?
Yeah, maybe tits.
Yeah.
Tits, blood, and a dragon.
And incest.
Well, actually, now as you mentioned it, yeah, I think that is my new special. I think that's what I'll call it, tits, blood, and incest. That'll get you some attention in social media. Well,
they'll be turning on YouTube a lot. Oh boy.
But I think what's interesting as well.
It's coming. I'm serious. I may even use that.
I think that putting it on the egalitarian nature of just throwing it out there and then anybody who wants to watch it, watching it. I don't think the streamers have quite understood. I don't think that the executives are executives, whether they were working for CBS in the 1950s or Netflix now. They're just the same fucking middle management pricks that they were back then. And so what they do is they don't see when change is coming. They didn't fucking see it then. And they think, like all humans, they think that they're the end of the evolutionary cycle. And you go, you fuckers don't understand. Netflix, you're going to be done. You're going to be done because people don't need to pay for stuff anymore. It's just like fucking music. What happened to the musicians? People just grab this shit from wherever they want. And now musicians have to go out. Like, that's why all these 80s bands are on tour again. Like,
yeah.
Oh, God, and playing casinos and stuff with the Nights and White Satin.
Well, it's, you know, but that's the, and it's in part the one thing about what YouTube does, because where the money is going to come, you know, now is much like with rock and roll, is coming from the gig.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to play live. Yeah.
So that YouTube, you know, brings in more diverse and a different audience for us.
Right.
Or that's what they tell me, but we'll see. I think that's working.
That's happened to me. I don't know if you know. I noticed my audience is getting younger. I even had to say to them one night, you fuckers better be here ironically. I'm not Rick Astley. You don't be here like, never going to give it, old cheeky monkey. Hello, everybody. This is Craig Ferguson, letting you know that my Fancy Rascal tour continues throughout the fall of 2023. For a full list of dates and tickets, please go to my website, thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel-friendly. It's hassle-free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code JOY at checkout, and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. J-O-Y. JOY.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Do you think that the thing with stand-up, because we were talking earlier about the immediate failure of live stuff, and what happens is maybe it's changing for us too. Maybe live stuff is kind of like the kids that are coming up, they start out on YouTube. They start out on free content. But if you start out on free content and you don't have an hour and a half to do once you get to the theater, it's going to work against you a little
bit. Well, it's that thing when they started doing, you know, when you had the 5 minutes, people were working on their 7 minute set for
Carson and stuff.
And then they would go, and that's what they had, and they didn't have even the 30 minutes to be a middle act.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, and now it's real, but I'm crazy because now I actually, people go, do you go to clubs to work out your material? I go, no, I just go into a theater and work it out. That's what you do, right?
I kind of mix it up a little bit. I especially because the mechanics of touring, because I know you tour a lot too, and we're dinosaurs, man. We tour like fucking old rock bands. You get on a fucking bus and you've got the big foreign guy with the tattoos doing the sound check and all that kind of stuff. And that's a kind of old model, but I do it. So if there's a, you know, if you book a theater on a Thursday and you don't have another theater until a Sunday because Louis Black's in the fucking theater that night, right. So you can't have it.
Or there's not a city in between.
Right, so I'll do a club. I'll do a run of clubs. There are clubs that I really like.
Which ones?
The Comedy Works in Denver. Both great clubs. The one in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow.
It's really good. What's the name of that one in Charlotte? I like the... There's a Comedy Zone. Yeah, the Comedy Zone.
Which is weird. Used to be a really weird because they had about 100 of them and they were...
No, it's just one as far as I know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of... There's still a few of them around, but they're not... That one is... If it's a particularly good one, that's...
That'll be one.
That's a find.
No, it's good. It was the Comedy Zone in Charlotte and there's a couple of really nice ones like there's some improvs that are really nice. There's one in San Jose. And
oh, that's a great one. That's at Lega Theater. I love that one.
And the one in La Brea in California. So they're there.
Did you ever play Hilarities?
No, where's that?
That's Cleveland. That's another great one.
Oh, I saw John Lovitz there one night.
Nick is the guy who owns it. It's great. And importantly, sadly to say, really great food. great food.
Yeah.
And not to you wouldn't appreciate this. And a really good wine list.
Well, I think that's okay. I mean, look, just because I don't drink wine is, I used to drink a lot of wine.
I know.
Yeah. You don't have a thing with that, do you? You've never had a problem with...
No, I did. I probably did, but I was functioning.
Right.
Really
right,
well. Right. I didn't have a... I would basically, I was like, so let me get this straight. I got a job where I can drink... when I'm done with the job until 6 a.m, let's say.
Yeah.
And then I can sleep for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then wake up, I don't have to be on stage till 9. So I don't see how I could possibly.
That's a very healthy attitude, I think, because the way I was doing it is that I would like, so I have a job that I have to stop drinking for. That seems like a lot. So I had a different approach to it, but that was a long, we've both seen people who screw up.
And from that to drugs. I mean, where they call you and they say, so-and-so passed, and you knew it. You knew, you yeah. just, when was it going to happen?
Yeah.
The great moment, this is a little off to the side, but it's really, one of the stories I repeat in terms of drinking was you and I, and also it's about drinking, but more importantly, it's about why it's important you just talk to somebody who,
right.
I really loved being on your show. I loved it. I thought that the great thing about it is you ripped up the cards and just talked.
Just talk. That's great. I'm glad you felt that way.
Oh,
and
no.
I loved having you on the show.
Oh, and it was terrific because I was completely comfortable and we were enjoyed. And
sure.
I knew if I had nothing, you had it. You knew if you had nothing, I had it. It
Correct.
Was like a great ping pong match and nobody was trying to win.
Right.
But you and I, and it's what made Parr's show and why I watched it, you know, aging me or not. But those early shows like Steve Allen, that what made them great was the fact that they were in a conversation. They weren't trying to promote anything. And how is it to work with Licky Dick? Well, Licky Dick licked my dick.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that stuff. And so it really gave, we discovered while talking that we lived in the same neighborhood. We didn't know that.
That's right.
The East Village.
Right.
That we discussed, which bar did you go to? We went to the same
fucking bar. Yep.
You and we both sat there, and it was like literally we went through a progression of understanding that we'd been fucking around each other. We were both drinking that we never noticed.
Yeah, at the same time, the Pyramid on 7th Avenue,
yep.
there was the Last Resort on,
7th. WDBO or whatever the one
right.
on 7th.
Right.
Also.
And the Pyramid Club was on Avenue B or something.
Avenue A, I think.
Avenue A, that's right, it was Avenue next to the Odessa Russian restaurant.
Right,
it was a really good borscht that you could get at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's gone now.
Yeah, of course it has. It's a fucking YouTube or something. it's a Netflix screen or something. But it was like all of that time. When I look at, because I was tooling around, as you were, tooling around New York in the 80s, in the East Village, they make movies about shit like that now. They make movies about, you know, like Basquiat and all this. I remember Basquiat, you know, hanging out at the Pyramid Club and it saved the robots. And you don't think anyone's going to make a movie of these things, you know, but I guess that, you know, you get old enough and you don't die and they start making, you know, back in the old, in the before times. So, when you were doing it, you were doing stand-up then, right?
Yeah, but only off and on. I really was theater.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in theater.
What drew you more into stand-up then? Or did you still want to do theater? Because we could probably...
I mean, I still would like to do more theater, but I just, you know, the stand-up kind of fulfills the writing. It fills everything, writing and acting.
Yeah, it does.
And I've never been a director, but I'm directing, and it doesn't take much. I mean, no.
You're directing your stand-up. So,
it's the thing when I talk to young actors, I go, do it. Do it just to do it, because you're learning directing, writing, and acting simultaneously.
It's the reason I started doing it as well. Because in Britain, you had to, in order to be an actor who work in a theater, you had to have an equity card. You have a union, actors union card. I don't know what it's like now, but back then, and you had, in order to get the union card, you had to do 3 shows in a union theater. But in order to get a show in a fucking union theater, you needed to have a union card.
Same
I was like,
here.
What the fuck? But there was one loophole, which is if you did stand-up, they would put you on to do stand-up and give you a union contract. So I did 3, and by the 3rd one, I was like, I think I might have found something I enjoy, or at least I can do sufficiently to get by. So when did you start doing John's show? Because that was like a real gear change for you, wasn't it, when you started doing The Daily Show?
Yeah, that was a big gear change. But I'd already kind of transitioned into stand-up, and I was...
I knew that. Yeah.
But I was doing it when Kilbourne was on. I was there from the very, very beginning.
How did you get... I never met him much. I talked to him. I did his show that I ended up hosting, the late night show.
Yeah.
And he was always really nice to me. I didn't really connect with him. I didn't really know him at all.
I don't think it was much to connect.
I was with him, and it was... Yeah, he was shut, quiet guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of kept himself to himself.
Yeah, I mean,
I think.
He went from sports to that, and I think he was a little bit of a fish out of water there, because a lot of the times, I mean, he didn't know what the joke was. You know, I mean, the idea was we want
like that woman in the Marx Brothers movies. What was her name? I can't remember. But yeah,
is it Dumont?
Yeah, Margaret Dumont, right?
I get 50 points in the race to come back next week.
Do you know there's a great Groucho Marx quote about someone gave her a job. He said, "Oh, great. I'm glad you gave her a job. She hasn't worked since the last Marx Brothers movie." What am I saying? I haven't worked since.
Yeah, no,
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show was. I mean, I was on like the first or the second week.
Right.
And have been on ever since.
And then when I became of the gear changing, like I knew you were, I'd seen you in Edinburgh, I knew you did stand up, I knew you were the stand up that you are, I knew what I was dealing with when I saw you and how good you were at it. But I became aware of the gear change for you on that show. And it was round about. It was after Clinton. Was it after Clinton? Was it George? Was it Bush?
Bush.
Bush
kicked it in.
Right.
That's where I began to believe in, and when I talked to people that it was part of what success has to do with in our business is timing.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with reality.
No.
This was George Bush came to power. It was right in my sweet spot.
Yeah.
The show was on. There was finally. You know, they began to, you know, the audience, which I already knew was paying attention to this stuff, their knowledge and interest increased, let's see, even 10%. And I had George Bush, and it really cracked things wide open. And
it's an interesting thing, though, that show, because the phenomenon of that show kicked off a lot, both for, I mean, obviously for John, it changed his career. But the idea of the fake news, which was a great joke. And now it's kind of, it's not kind of, it's fucking real.
Yeah.
Now nobody, and I don't care if you're on the far right of Hitler or the far left of Trotsky, nobody believes anybody anymore. You don't know where to go for your any news. And people used to trust The Daily Show for news, which was the fake news show. Yeah. This is strange, right?
Yeah. And then what it evolved into was news shows. I think it evolved into MSNBC and Fox because then we have news, but what we're going to do is comment on the news.
Right.
And that came from The Daily Show.
Yeah, and that, of course, is a Frankenstein's monster because now it's not even news. It's just we're going to comment on everything all the time.
Yeah, and it's really reached a point. I keep screaming it on stage. 4 years ago, I was saying it. 5 years ago, before the shit hit the fan, I said, we don't have a two-party system of ideas. It's two separate realities. People, they're living, we are literally, I'm in this country is living in two separate realities.
Yeah.
If not four.
Yeah.
But two solid separate realities that they based it on. And I see it when I sent out the special, the YouTube special. You know, some of the comments are like, well, you know, yada yada, you didn't do that, you know, your take on this and that. What are you talking? I'm talking about me, schmuck. This is you've decided that was your reality. I'm telling you what my reality was.
But the thing is, because everything now has a polemic, that even to not be political is to be political.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking, it's such a weird twist. It's like, I'm not going to do politics. Oh, so you're a Trumper. Hey, I'm not going to do politics. Did I say that? You know, it's kind of, oh, so you're not a Trumper? Oh, fuck you, Trump's great. It's like, what's happening is that I think, this is my theory about it. I don't know if you agree, that people love to feel smart. And the thing about politics is, it's a really great way, particularly for politicians, it's a really great way for dumb fucks to feel like they're clever. Like they say stuff and they get to wear a suit and walk around in big buildings and say, very important. And I don't know about you, but the politicians I've met all the way up to presidents, I'm like, I can't believe how fucking stupid this guy is. Like they're fucking stupid. But then I get it because who else would be a politician but a fucking idiot? This is crazy, right? Because you lose half the audience right there.
Well, they're also nerds.
Yeah.
And they used to be better at being nerds, which was like not try to get beyond their nerdishness and just, I'm going to go there. You know, what they wanted to do was go in that room and work.
Right.
They didn't want to go out. And then they found out you could make more money. You know, it's kind of when Hollywood and D.C., I'm from D.C.,
right,
around that area, I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland, and literally, you know, when I was young, there was no Hollywood was here, and then once Reagan came in, there was the marriage of the two,
yeah.
And then it's the we're going to present you with this. And
did you ever do the White House Correspondence Dinner?
No, I did the Congressional Correspondence
Dinner. All right, okay. Is that like the Illuminati one or something?
Yeah, no, that was it was the same, but you know, I never got that high. That's my career. It's like, did you do that? No.
But I did this. Right. Well, it's fun. I did the White House Correspondence Dinner the last year of Bush.
Oh, that I remember you did
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah. My God. It's such a weird gig. Because you know when you do a corporate gig and you, like, you know it's going to suck? Because everyone, like, you can smell the warm lobster before you start talking. But
those are better gigs than I had.
Well, sometimes it's warm. You know, once, I used to do this. I had this thing once. I used to do this bit in the act about Tom Cruise. Like, it wasn't particularly nice about Tom Cruise. It was about, like, you know, his take on depression and all that kind of stuff. And it was just about, I mean, it wasn't particularly nasty about him, but it was a thing. And I did it. I used to kill every night. And one night I do it at a corporate gig, total silence. And then I come off stage and somebody says, you know, this is Tom Cruise's law firm.
Is that right?
I'm like, oh my God, are they going to sue me? Like, no, but I don't think they'll have you back.
God,
it's scary. Do you do a lot of corporate gigs?
No.
No?
No, they do not even come near me anymore.
Nah, I don't know. They came, they kind of dried up during the COVID. I think they're beginning to come
but
back.
But they stopped. Before the COVID, they stopped dancing. Mm-hmm. I had some, and some really worked well. And then, but also they, you know, there was this thing that they didn't realize I could. You know, oh, that he's going to come here. He's going to say fuck a lot. No, you idiot.
You
pay X. I'm not going to say fuck.
Right.
Okay?
That's,
I'm not here to say fuck.
It's funny how people will say that. It's like, please don't say fuck. Like, I'm capable of that. I did one. I remember it was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Just before I walk on stage, the guy says to me, please don't say fuck. And I'm like, I knew it, right? I knew it. Age, when I say the contract, it says, you know, PG-13 or something. But I walked on stage and I said to the audience, I've just been told that I'm not allowed to say the F. I've just heard this minute. So we're going to have to, we're just going to have to make up another word. And and it actually played pretty good.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
nice.
Good.
But I think that the whole world, because of social media, has become HR. Like, everybody is like, you got to not offend this, you got to not do that. And you're like, what? But offending people is a byproduct of doing what we do. You don't have to be an asshole or a bully, but you are going to offend someone. You're going to say something that you don't. That's why I think when I see you, I think you're so good at this. You will say a thing that you patently don't believe in order to make a joke. But if I write down Lou Black said this, it's going to look like you do believe that. Because they remove your skill from what you just did.
Yeah, exactly. And it's gotten out of hand. And also, for me, a part of it is I'll find myself on stage, I'll say something. Like, I'll say it's something, you know, and the guys will understand. And then I go, oh, fuck. Okay, look. By guys, I said, I did not mean to exclude every woman on the planet. Do you understand this? And the fact that I even have to fucking stand here and make sure that before you leave this theater, that you understand that this had to do with everybody, and I didn't say everybody, and that somehow I slipped that word in, and you kind of go, and they get it.
Yeah, of course,
you know,
they do.
Because they've
been
dragged through this.
Yeah.
Because it's both sides have created this madness.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, I don't think it belongs to any particular group of people.
Because it works in, you know, I said, just recently I was talking about, I brought up George Santos. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
On stage.
Hey, he's a trip.
Oh, God.
Oh, what a
so,
guy.
So I bring him up, because I started it as a joke about, I used to say, Herschel Walker.
Right.
And that's all I got to say. And the audience, when I said his name, the audience would be like, how? Just how? I said, that's where we're at. Do you understand? You don't need me anymore. I'm done.
Just say the name.
But just out of the name. So I tried it with Santos. He doesn't do as well. So, but I met, you know, I was starting to talk a little about it. I said he was a liar. And on one side of the stage, a guy yells out, well, Joe Biden's a liar. And I go, okay, look, all right, do you understand? the difference between the types of lies I'm talking. And then the other guys at the stage goes, you know, Biden wouldn't be where he was if he wasn't. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? And I go stage. Now, all I've said is George Santos.
Just his name.
Made, yeah, and that, or and that he makes shit, you know, that he was lying.
Right.
And I started to get into, you know, the two jokes, and then I tell the audience, you can make a joke.
Right.
Just pick anything that you think he might not have ever done, and you're going to get a laugh. And so the guy says, and this shocked me and actually stopped me, because you know that moment where you go, I can't believe this is fucking coming out of this person's mouth, and this is happening. He says, well, you know, if Joe Biden's wife and son weren't killed in that accident, Joe Biden would be a used car salesman.
Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck did that have to do with what?
Jeez.
And I was like, I said, you know, I got to stand here now and explain to you the difference between these two people, that I have to reprimand you for the fact that this is not the type of thing you say. You want to say this at home, you say it at home. That's fine.
Right.
Around the dinner table with your family, fine. I don't care. But no, you don't come into a public space and say something that nasty about anybody.
No, that's what home is for. That's what Thanksgiving dinner is for.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that thing when, you know, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry said, someone in the royal family is racist. And I'm like, yeah, it's a family. So... someone in the family's a racist. If you don't know who the racist is in your family, it's because it's you. it's a family. It's like a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, Grandpa would like to say a few words. No, no, he's not. He's not saying anything.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
It seems to me that, I don't know, being offended is some kind of badge of honor, and I don't understand it. I get offended, but so what? You know, Ricky Gervais has got a very nice little phrase about it. He said, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah.
You're just offended.
But this was astonishing. I mean, I just hadn't.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard that in so long, that kind of mean-spirited. I don't abide it. I mean,
yeah.
That's what we get to do. And the reason we get to do it is we try to encapsulate it and put it into a joke.
And make it ridiculous.
Yes.
So if you take a sentence which is mean, or you take a sentiment which is mean, you hold it up for being foolish or stupid or reprehensible. But I think that, you know, the nuance, I don't want to be like cranky about social media, but at the same time, it's hard not to be. Because it's kind of really just a bathroom wall. You know, you just write, you know, Craig Ferguson is shit in shit, so therefore it's true.
Yeah, you know, and you were never funny.
Yeah, you're not funny. Which I don't really understand, because you don't say to a musician, you're not music. You go, yeah, I fucking am. People are dancing. Like, if all these people are laughing and you're not laughing, maybe I am funny, maybe you're just an asshole.
What, yeah, it's like I go, what was I thinking? You know, did I, if I just, you know, there's nobody laughing and I'm hearing it, that's what the level of psychosis I'm at.
Yeah, good.
It's, and they're really unbelievable in terms of the fact that they, it's high school.
Yeah, a little, so it feels a bit like that. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing I've been thinking about this, is that social media is all the things that people hated in high school and it brought back. So you're walking down the hall,
yeah,
and somebody found out, you know, you were pissing in a urinal, you missed the urinal, and you're walking down the hall, you missed the urinal,
yeah,
you know? And yeah, so you get 60 of those,
yeah,
and 80 of these.
Yep.
And part of the problem was, and it's happening now with AI, is they just said, okay, here's Facebook, go, do it. And it was like, when it happened, I was like, this is bullshit. Never in the history of anything did you become involved with something and they don't give you any instructions.
Right.
You know, just play with it. Well, yeah, you know, just playing with it created real problems, fucknut.
It's interesting, though. I have a slightly different feeling about AI. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel
probably,
that—
You are probably wrong.
You're totally wrong.
God damn it, I can't believe I've got to sit here.
he shit, I wrote it in shit, so it must be true.
I said we're not going to talk about AI.
AI, I think, finally devalues it completely. Like, it completely devalues it. Like, I saw a post—
Devalues
all social media, because it's all garbage all the time.
Right.
Which is, you know, obviously one of my favorite performers of all time, saying, all garbage all the time. But it is. It is. It's all garbage all the time. And I think the AI makes it so worthless as a— See, I think the failure of journalism, in the sense that they got so lazy, they used social media as a source, that they gave it some credence and some validity that it doesn't actually have.
Is that true?
Right.
It started before him, but it was really blew up in the Trump era.
Well, he used it very effectively, though. I mean, because he just used the noise.
But, you know, the big tragedy there, I used to say, was that when they started putting his tweets and stuff on TV, I go,
right,
that,
yeah,
you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
That's our job.
Yeah.
Okay? Your job is to discuss the political. These tweets are the pathological. That's our bread and butter.
That's right. That's
you fucking pricks.
Yeah.
And I would go out there and I said, you know, I would read these tweets to you, but you've already heard them 300 times, and you shouldn't have heard them at all. And I said, and that's why my act will be shorter tonight.
Yeah.
Because they've taken away—
Taken away all your stuff.
A third of what—I mean, it was unbelievable.
It is an odd thing that you can say—but that's why I think AI is actually going to save the human race. Because you can't believe a fucking word of it, and you're going to have to grow up. You can't. It's not like, well, I get my news from— It doesn't matter where you get your fucking— If you get your news from an electronic device, you're fucked. You're going to have to go and see for yourself. So if something happens in Ukraine and you think, what's going on in Ukraine? Get on a fucking plane and go and find out. Because that's the only way you're going to fucking know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't advise it because I suspect it might be dangerous. But if you really want to know what's going on, go and fucking see.
Well, now that you can do the, which AI is— You know, that you can, that it came out before. I mean, the thing is too, with AI, is it's really literal. We're talking about this, and this is probably 4 weeks after they announced, really, AI.
Right.
Where they told the world, hey, look what we got. We're going to fuck with everything now. You thought we were fucking with you, but now we got something we're really going to be
really fucking with.
Yeah, we're going to shove something right up your ass. Boy, oh boy, get ready for this shit. But it is that thing now, too, which they kind of, just before AI, they said, oh, you know, we can put fake people into these things.
Right.
And they look just like you. What?
I want to be in porn. Without having to do it.
Yeah.
Like, so I, like, you use my face and then give me a huge penis and make me great at porn. And I'm fine with it. Go right ahead. Just don't focus on me going, like that. But I don't know. I think that, because, look, the human race is evolving. Evolution doesn't stop. Everybody thinks, well, that's it now. You know, it's like, well, we got the wheel. That's it now. Well, we got fire. That's it now. What, this fire? It's like, it's not like it's going to fucking stop. Well, screaming, that's the way of the future. No, it's fucking not. It's the way of the now. The future, you don't fucking know what's coming.
Yeah. The AI, too, is, I think, as I say, you have a world filled with people who have no intelligence. Tons of us.
Right.
And from out of that group of people who have no intelligence, a number of people who have a little more of no intelligence than those people without intelligence, just a touch more, are going to create intelligence.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That is okay? I saw a robot when I was in L.A. I was in L.A. with my son about a couple of months ago. I saw a delivery robot. And it was a robot on its own going down the road delivering a thing. And I was like...
It wasn't a commercial?
No, it's a real fucking, it's a real fucking robot. They have delivery robots.
I know they do, but I've never seen one.
Yeah, well, I saw one. That was the only one I saw. And I was thinking, you know what? I don't care how well you've made that robot. If I want what that robot's got, I'll fucking take it. And I don't need a gun. I just need to unplug that motherfucker or know where his batteries are. I don't fucking... The whole idea of it, I refuse to be frightened of it. I think people are who they are. You know, I refuse to say, oh, the AI is going to get us. Fuck them.
Well, I don't think it's going to get them, but I think it's going to undermine education for a while.
Well, not as much as the fucking failure of the education system has undermined the education.
Well, that's true, too. But that's got to do with another problem. But I mean, for those who are kind of past, you know, in college, once you get to college and you kind of go, fuck, I got three papers this week.
Oh, that's true.
That critical thinking thing goes out the window.
I mean,
you know, it's like when they said, you know, you don't have to, this was an amazing one that I did on, which is talk about stupid. Okay, this is how dumb I am. I said, I'm just going to tell you this. This is not funny. It's not anything. It's just information you should have when you go to a PTA meeting. They've stopped teaching cursive writing.
Really?
Here. In a lot of places in the country.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And do you write stuff down? You write it, right?
I do both.
Exactly. And so I said, you know, I had I'd written plays and for a long time. And then, you know, when the word processor and all that came out, I started to try to write plays. Now I'll be able to keep up with my brain. And I tried to do that. And I wasn't writing as well. And I realized, then I went back to writing in longhand, cursive. And I went, fuck. I'm thinking different.
Yeah.
It's a completely different way of thinking.
Oh, well, how much do you read versus before or after smartphones? Like, I used to read. Oh, I always had a book in my hand. I would always read. And now I read, but I read, like, garbage on this fucking little toilet funnel in my hand.
I read less. Much less. Yeah. I also think the pandemic did it for me, too.
Yeah.
Because I sit down and it was like, there was still like, oh, I got plenty of time. I'll read this. And then the next day, I'll read this. Then the next day, I'll read this. And it was really almost true. I would start to read something and in my head I'd get about three paragraphs in and my brain would start going, stop, drop the book. You're going to die.
Did you get COVID?
No.
You never got it? I had it twice. Wow. And I've had all the shots, and I'm like a COVID petri dish.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had it a couple of times. I think you're only the second person I've ever met that's not had it.
Yeah, I know a few who didn't. And I had this kind of spray that I don't know if that's what did it.
Yeah.
That they claimed worked.
Would you spray other people to keep them away from you?
No, or no. I would,
like a cat?
That would be a different spray. Wow, twice. Did it knock you out?
First time it did. Second time I was like, okay, it's no big deal. But the first time, I think what was worse with the pandemic wasn't, the COVID was awful, of course it was. But
now, were you there or here? When
I was in Scotland.
When you got it.
Yeah, both
times.
Well,
you've never been a clean people.
No, we're not. We're damp and we do a lot of breathing on each other and touching things. So we are washing our hands. That's fully English. So the thing about it was the fear that they put into it. Do you remember in the 1980s when they were trying to terrify everybody when AIDS first started and the fear campaign? Rather than saying, look, here's what we know so far, which would have been helpful, I think, to a lot of people who subsequently got sick. They just tried to make it about shame-based sexual contact. It had echoes of that in it. It's like, the main thing you have to focus on here is your fear. It seems kind of sinister to me that anything that comes... Is it like nobody kind of wants to help. Well, at least that's the kind of vibe I got from it. It's like, I don't think you guys want to help. You're just loving this. I mean, the media, you know.
It was very weird. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, it was that thing. It was, my whole life I thought, if we were invaded by, you know, another...
aliens?
Aliens.
Yeah.
That the world, because of all the books I, you know, and all the science fiction, would come together to defend themselves. And here is an invasion by an alien. Nothing. Not even close. Nope. Not even in the ballpark.
Nope.
What are you doing? Shh, don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, what fucking, are you people this crazy?
Yeah.
And here, too, it was, you know, and my special has it has stuff in it about what happened.
I did, too. I wrote about it.
And the response of some people is that, you know, well, you're, you know, and it was like, you know, they had their own take on it. And I said, the problem, and to me, the problem always was, is that what you had to have happen here was whether it worked or not, there are people who are going to ignore it, but the Democrats and the Republicans had to get together.
Yeah.
And they had to sit down as one. And with him, with the perfect storm, you know, with Trump, and kind of present a united front and say, here's what we're going to do. And they never did.
They never did.
You can do this, or you can do that. Or, you know, I was fucking, I mean, seriously, I was, and it wasn't a joke, I'm washing shit with Clorox. I could have killed myself.
Yeah. You know, it's like, in Britain, the prime minister was making the rules for the COVID lockdown, and at the same time, this is why they kicked him out. He's having, like, parties in number 10 down the street. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're not allowed to see your grandma if she's dying. Oh! I mean, it's like, fuck, what?
Yeah,
but it was an odd, a weird, I don't remember anything like it in my lifetime. When things got that strange for that little period, that first 6 months of COVID, I'm like, oh my God, this is really,
it was bizarre.
Really fucking weird.
Really weird. Yeah. And then you know, oh boy, you know, this whole thing about, you know, I'm not going to take the vaccine. And then that became a political, how does that, it's not,
how does it get political?
It's not a political issue. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's either you trust that science
or you don't.
Or you don't.
Yeah. That's it.
If I'm taking it, I am not striking out at you. And if I don't want to see you because you didn't take it, it's because I'm going to go see my mother.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking afford. I'm not even worried about me as much as I am getting something that, because I was seeing my mother every 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that must have been the thing, because your mom was what, like 102 at the time?
Yeah, at the time. And never got COVID.
Jeez.
In a nursing home where they were dropping.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that happened in Scotland as well. They put a bunch of people from the hospitals that had it back into the nursing homes, and it was a mess.
Well, yeah, it's crazy.
It was a mess.
But and then people blame people for that. Yeah. You know, blame the doctor. It's like nobody knew anything.
Nobody knew what was going on. Yeah, no, do you remember? Because right at the beginning, we thought you could get it from not having enough toilet paper. That was not the world's greatest moment.
Well, that was
panic buying fucking toilet paper.
And then I would get things on my, you know, there's comments because I talk about, you know, that I had food delivered, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you son of a bitch, you made those people come out and fucking, you know.
Deliver food
to you. I said, well, you know, no, I didn't really do that. I didn't. I was trying to, you know, I paid for it. It wasn't like I put a
This is Lewis Black, and if you do not deliver food to me, I will have you killed!
Yeah, but let's, you know, and so what's my choice? You know, they're going to deliver the food, or do I just not eat again?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Anyway, everybody.
There is an upbeat.
Yeah. Well,
there's a bit of joy.
We're kind of done.
can't end on that.
Oh, I've enjoyed myself immensely.
But we can't end on this.
Well, what do you want to end on, then?
Jesus. You work with this guy? We trying to sell a product here?
No, we're not trying to sell a product.
Yes,
that's my whole
we
fucking
are.
Idea. See, the whole idea I like about this podcast thing is this, because I used to think, do you have a podcast?
I have a rant cast.
A rant cast.
And I'm going to go home after this.
And rant about this?
And say, I sat with that son of a bitch, and it was so depressing. I hadn't seen him in years, and he ended with this thing about...
About COVID.
Starting with AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
He started with AIDS. To go back in the... Because we lived in that neighborhood was like the AIDS capital of the world.
Yeah, I remember. I thought I had it. Did you think you had it?
No, I was barely poking.
Yeah, no, But no. And that's how you got it. But I thought I had a couple of times. Do you know, here's the truth. Do you remember at the very beginning? Well, no, it was a little bit into the years. Maybe it was as late as the 90s. I think it was in the 90s. The first, because I never wanted to get a test, an AIDS test. But then they came out with the mail-in AIDS test. So what you did was, it was like, I think the movie phone guy was involved. And what you did is like you got a card from a drugstore and you pricked your finger with it and you put your little bit of sample of blood on the card and you sent it away and you waited a week. And then they gave you a number to dial and you dialed into the number. I swear to God, you dialed into the number and then you had a number on your card. So it said, punch in the number if you want to know if you have AIDS. And so I'd like, punch in, you know, 833-456 or something. And it said, 833-456, you do not have AIDS. If you want to hear this message again, press 1. So of course, what you do is you go, boom, I want to hear it again. You press 1, it goes, you do not have AIDS. Do you want to hear this message? If you want to hear this number, press 1. So you press it again and go, you have exceeded the amount of times you can hear this. You must reapply. And you had to reapply for the thing. Did you know? That's the one I did.
Wow.
It was scary.
I had a friend, talk about the only one of my friends got the thing where it just, you know, took the test. You know, we went for, you know, and he took the test and they said, oh, you have AIDS. Now he's like been, you know, he's close to getting married. And so I got AIDS. And then like the next day, nah, only kidding. I mean, it was literally
false positive.
False positive.
See, the thing was as well, right back then, if you got AIDS, you were going to die.
That was it. It was done.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got friends who have had AIDS for years. Or not AIDS, it's HIV positive for years. And they haven't developed AIDS. So let's end on that.
Yeah, there's something up there. Wow, unbelievable.
They're fine.
I am really glad.
I have a buddy who's in a car accident, but he's doing okay.
Now, is this what you're doing now? Is this it?
No. This is just like a side hustle. Everybody says to you, you have to have a podcast. It's like, who made you have a Twitter account? Kathleen?
Kathleen really said you got to, because you have to keep your name out.
Right, that's so.
And
that's,
tell people where I was going to be.
Right, and I bet you the Rantcast is the podcast is the same
thing. Well, the Rantcast was when I was stuck inside and I wasn't one of those people. I need an audience to do stand-up.
Right.
I mean, I can do it with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are people that I can banter back and forth with and stuff like that. But basically, like, I'm going to go home and sit by myself and talk about the writer's strike is what I got. And I got one rant that came in. But I had all of these rants that people had already sent in. I've been doing it for years where I read these rants on stage live.
Oh,
and they went throughout the world. And what was great about it is some of them were so fucking good. In the last year, they were really remarkable. And my tour manager said, this would be a great thing to put. And I thought, great, because people didn't, you know, if you didn't see it that night, you didn't see it. And so I was able to get those out there. And then I do an intro of what happened that week. And then I started reading rants that were coming to me. And
so people write down the rants and you read them out for them.
Yeah. And so I'll be reading the rant of one of the writers today that.
Technically, if that writer wrote a rant for you to read out, didn't that writer then write for you?
They didn't write it for me. They just wrote it.
Wrote
a thing saying this is talking about it and sending it to some friends.
All right.
Then, and they're not, you know.
I don't want you getting in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not getting in trouble for this because it's really about getting it out to the public as to why this is bullshit and why we need to go on strike.
I'm on strike.
Yeah.
I'm on strike. None of this was written down.
Excellent.
Yeah. And you're a WGA member, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So we're on strike.
We are on strike.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you ever get anything asking you for your vote?
No, did you?
No.
Yeah. I think you had to go and vote in the auditorium.
Right? No, there was no auditorium.
Oh, there's no.
And the fact that you even use that word means that this podcast has dropped 10% of its audience. What's an auditorium? That's where people go to get COVID.
Yeah. All right, let's finish on that. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
NFL Plus Premium is your ticket to the NFL offseason.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all your favorite offseason coverage and stream exclusive content from the NFL Draft, training camp, free agency, and more. Relive the biggest plays from the season with full and condensed game replays.
He's in! Touchdown!
Plus, stay connected with 24/7 football news and coverage on NFL Network. Sign up today at plus.nfl.com. Terms and conditions apply.